Hello, Audio Boom. Graham, your Black 73 Cat. Hope you're all well, guys. It's Sunday, the 9th of November, 2014. It's approximately 11:45 in the AM. Sunday, the 9th, being Remembrance Sunday, of course. A day of remembering those who have given their lives to defend this great nation of ours and to ward off the evils of terror, etc. Certainly not a day to be shameful. I think we'll leave that one there. Anyway, on to brighter things. So, what's been happening? Well, I guess we'll kick off with Friday night. Whoa, Friday night was the big night out. Friday night was when I was to venture out into a large metropolis in the dark, to scary places with busyness and people and things. It was actually all right in the end. I made it quite clear in my audio video on Friday that I just was not looking forward. Well, I was looking forward to it, but I was very, very nervous. But it was okay. It turned out that there were there were only two. There should have been three, but one couldn't make it. There were only two other people from my friend's work who came, so that wasn't too uncomfortable. And they were decent blokes anyway. I really liked the pair of them. They were great. And the venue itself, when we got to Leeds, I hadn't really asked anything about it. I initially thought we were just going to Nottingham. I didn't realise we were going to Leeds. It just didn't occur to me. And then I just assumed, because, let's face it, Henning Vane is quite a well-known comedian now. Well, he certainly is if you watch the sort of comedy panel show things. He's quite well-known. He's had his own series on Radio 4. In my opinion, he's quite a high-profile comedian. So I just assumed it would be at one of the main theatres. And it turned out it wasn't. It was at a lovely little venue in the centre of Leeds called City Varieties, which is an old music hall. And it's still as it was. Certainly, maybe not as it was originally, but it's still sort of very oldie-worldy, and it's got all the ornate balconies and stuff. The type of thing that you would see in a grand sort of Empire Theatre type thing, but on a very, very small scale. I can only imagine there must have been, I should Google it really, there's probably only about 300 people, something like that. If that, I would think. It was really small. So very, very intimate. I mean, we were sat right at the back. But considering it doesn't have all this modern sort of laser measured seating positions and that kind of thing that you get in theatres and cinemas now, where, you know, cinemas go to great lengths to tell you that every seat is measured with laser beams to make sure that you can see the screen no matter where you're sitting. It was a really old sort of flip down rickety wooden seating with like a half a millimetre thick of covering on it, you know, a bit of velour with maybe a slight bit of ticking underneath. No foam, just ticking, you know. But it was just a lovely place, a really nice place. I mean, we were, like I say, we were sat right at the back, but unhindered view, and you still felt really sort of close to the stage. Lovely sort of ornate balconies with proper old incandescent bulbs to, you know, as the house lights and stuff. It was just really, really nice place to be. If you're ever in Leeds, it's definitely worth checking out to see what's on there, because it's an experience just actually going there. It was really nice. So that was really good. And I mean, the show was fantastic. Henning Vane is a very, very funny guy. Very funny. He does like to push the boundaries a little bit, which I kind of like, to be quite honest. I like the fact that, because often, don't get me wrong, I'm all for political correctness, and I'm very mindful of certainly what I say, and I do sort of often sharp intake a breath if I hear sort of people saying or implying certain things, you know. But I think the comedy is where that sort of thing needs to be. It needs to be challenged to some degree, because there's a lot of humour that can be dragged from it. But there's there's a very great difference between when I was younger. I used to be quite into things like Bernard Manning and Roy Chubby Brown and that kind of sort of out there extreme sort of you know, beyond the pale sort of comedy. That's just youth and naivety, I think. But as I get older now, I find that sort of thing repulsive, to be quite honest. I just think that the only comedy came from that in the fact that it was mocking certain areas of society. There was no sort of, there was no real anecdote to it or any purpose to it. It was just literally mockery. That was all it was. Whereas you find that modern day comedians will sort of still go down the same avenue, but very cleverly turn the whole thing back around on itself and essentially show how stupid that sort of attitude is, but in a comedic way. And Henning Veen is brilliant at that. He's brilliant. I think I said on Friday, his main core of his comedy, what he sort of branches out from, is the fact that he's obviously German and he's lived here for 12 years. So he'll kind of focus on the differences in the culture between German and British, you know, the work ethic and that kind of thing, the obvious targets. But even that isn't sort of cliched or yawny, if you like. It's very he's very good at doing it, and his delivery is very, very clever. But then he'll also look at other things, you know, where, and he'll start, and he was saying a couple of things. I'm not, obviously not going to repeat it. I wouldn't want to spoil it in case anybody else wants to go and see the show or whatever. But he kind of starts to say things, and you kind of literally, you're sitting there and you're grimacing because you think, this is so uncomfortable. You can't say that. That's, oh my word. And then he'll go on and on and on. And you just think, oh my God. And I think there was two people walked out. Now, whether they were genuinely having to leave. Yeah, I mean, because he actually commented. He says, look, I've upset somebody now. They're walking out, sort of thing. And they just kind of like waved a hand and carried on walking as if, they were genuinely offended by what he'd said. Whether that was the case or not, I don't know. But he was in a pretty sort of to the knuckle, sort of in the middle of a very, very close to the knuckle story at the time. But when he finished, he flipped it right at the very last minute. He just flipped the whole thing back around on itself. And suddenly it was, the uncomfortableness had gone. It was you could see it was just so funny because he'd just literally shown the stupidity of that kind of attitude. If it were a real train of thought of his, you know, a real school of thought of his. It was brilliant. Really, really good. Really good show. So, the thing for me was, obviously I was nervous about going out and going into a pub for the first time in 2.5 years after dark. That was quite scary, and I thought I was going to avoid it, to be quite honest, because my wife was quite late from leaving from work, getting in from work, so we kind of didn't get a chance to meet up with anybody beforehand. We went straight to the theatre, but because it was such a small theatre, there was a little sort of hatch of a bar at the back, so you know, there wasn't any sort of bar area as such. It was just a little sort of hole in the wall at the back of the auditorium, really. So that wasn't too much of an aggro to go and just buy a beer before the show. And it was really good that you could actually sit there with a beer in the theatre as well, which was quite nice. As long as it was in a plastic glass. Strange stuff. But anyway, so afterwards, the show finished and we went outside. And this is where it was touch and go for me, because I kind of knew what was coming. And you get, obviously, the question is like, right then, what's everybody doing now then? And all I was thinking was, I just want to go home. I just want to go home now. I've seen the comedy. Let's just go home. Come on. But then they were like, oh, should we go for a pint? And everybody was like, yeah, that'd be good. And my mate went, you all right, going for a pint, Graham? And, yeah, okay. And then we'd walk past this horrible pub on the way up. Oh, God, there was people outside. And it was like a proper rough pub. I don't mean just like drunken teenagers on a Friday night out. It was one of these like certainly lower class pubs, if you know what I mean. And there was these horrible fellas outside. And they were stood there sucking on roll-ups and swearing at each other. And one of them was arguing with I assume it was his wife or his girlfriend. And they were just just, oh, it was horrible. It was just a horrible experience to see. And I thought, oh no. And of course, as soon as somebody said go to the pub, that's my image of a pub on a Friday night in a city centre, you know. But anyway, we found this little one called The Ship, which is like up a little sort of alleyway off the side of one of the main streets in Leeds. And it was lovely, you know. It wasn't anything flashy. It wasn't anything sort of too modern or OTT. A nice sort of traditional pub inside. But it was just a really nice atmosphere, really chilled out, really good. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I was sort of getting a little bit edgy after half an hour. I was ready to get out, but it was okay. It was all right. Yeah, I felt quite good actually as I came out. It's like, I've just been in a pub. That's really cool, and I was all right. How long I could have stayed for, I don't know. I was starting to get a bit sort of twitchy, and the longer I stood there, because I was standing up for the whole time, and. One of the things that I don't like about being a person of grand stature, I'm nearly 6'4", is the fact that you're very, very obvious in a public place like that. You know, you're towering over everybody else. And it's something I've always been really self-conscious about. And it's one of the things that why I get so offended when people comment on the fact that I'm tall, because actually it's not something that I'm not happy with, you know. But yeah, because after a while then you think, I'm really visible here, you know, and then, you know, I was just starting to get a bit twitchy, and it was time to go, but it was good, small steps and all that, so yeah, feeling good indeed, happy, very happy, really good night, and yeah, all is good. I'm really glad I did it. My mate's actually said that he goes to a small comedy club in Nottingham now and again. So he said, look, if you want to, you know, we can go there and then, you know, sort of see if you enjoy that as well. So that'd be quite cool. It'd be good to start thinking I could maybe build up gradually, and perhaps, you never know, I might even get a proper night out. I might even take my wife out at some point, do you think? That'd be quite good. I'm sure she'd be happy. But yeah, so that was all good. That was Friday night, which was... a really, really pleasant evening, and that's a cracking venue. I guess a lot of those music halls now are pretty much gone. But you could just imagine it, sort of, 100 years ago, and what went on in there. That the atmosphere heavy with cigarette smoke, and you know, like chorus girls and that kind of just brilliant, just a brilliant little place with loads of architectural history in there. It's just cracking, great atmosphere. All the staff were dressed up in like. Black tie and you know, formal suits. Oh, it's lovely. Really nice. Really nice. But yeah, anyway. What else have I got to tell you? Not much. Oh, yes. I finished almost finished painting yesterday. Almost. I've still got to finish painting the feature wall. You've got to have a feature wall, haven't you? What colour are you doing your feature wall? Well, different colour from all the other walls. But it has to be called a feature wall. So yes, my feature wall is Mulberry Crush, or Mulberry Blush, or Mulberry Smash, or something, I don't know, something like that. It's like maroon, purpley colour anyway. I've got one coat on, I need to do another coat, and then cut in around the edges, and that's me, pretty much done. Yeah, almost done. Although I was lured into a conversation last night with my good lady wife, and I've kind of agreed to kind of get on and do the kitchen as well now. And she trapped me. It was entrapment. Stood there admiring the colour and said, oh, actually, it really looks nice. I'm really pleased with it. And then she said, I'm just wondering if that colour would look good on that back wall in the kitchen. Oh, for God's sake, here we go. So I've sort of agreed I'm going to paint the kitchen as well. And then there was like some sort of inference that I might even progress to the dining room after that. Oh, dear me. Oh, dear me. Still, I'm sure she'll not mind paying me in Xbox games. hopefully. I've actually just found out on the subject of gaming that next week, next Friday, the 14th, a game is being released on Xbox. Oops. Just kicked a bag full of stuff on Xbox One, which is a game called Terraria. Now, I when back in my voice bow days, I did quite a few voice bows about Terraria. I listened to one the other day, actually. It's a really, really good game. It was called 2D Minecraft when it was launched. That's the kind of label it always gets, because you can mine in it and you can craft stuff in it. Crafting, for anybody who is uninitiated, means that you take materials that you find within a world and you put them together to make other materials or tools or armor or weapons or things like that. So, like Minecraft, you can mine and you can craft, but it's in a 2D environment. It's like a side-scrolling sort of platformer type look to it. And there's an actual... Minecraft does have a purpose. You can play survival mode, and there is a sort of a game to it, a sort of story to it now. But Terraria, there are lots of monsters to actually defeat and stuff. And there are sort of things that you need to do. You don't sort of level up your character as such, but you need to find things to make better equipment for your character. So you need to go around and hunt stuff out and mine ores and things like that in order to make better armor and a better weapon and stuff like that, and better cast better magic spells and all that kind of malarkey, you know. And there are big dungeons to search and chests to find, and it's a massive game of exploration and building. You can build. You don't need to build anything sort of fantastic, but you need to sort of fulfill certain requirements of when you build your house or your residence, if you like. It's just a really, really, really good game, and I've sunk so many hours into it, so many hours. It's one of those that just keeps pulling you back and pulling you back and pulling you back. And I absolutely loved it on Xbox 360. And they've now released it on Xbox One next week with a load of improvements, a load of new stuff coming to it as well. So I'm really excited about that. However, what I am a little bit concerned about is that they seem to be doing this a lot with these next-gen consoles, where they are re-releasing games that were already on the previous generation, such as Minecraft. I got Minecraft on Xbox One the other day. Now, the good thing about Minecraft is, because I already own it on 360, I didn't have to buy the full game. All I had to pay was an upgrade fee to get it onto Xbox One. And that upgrade fee was only about £3 or something like that, which to me seems fair. You know, I already own the game. I've already bought the game on one platform. I don't really see why I should need to buy it again as such, you know. Especially when the core code, I would imagine, isn't that much different, you know. I don't know anything about coding, by the way, as many of you will know. But I'm just assuming, you know, from a layman's point of view. Actually, I'll talk about coding in a bit. So anyway, I'm on a waffle today again. It's Sunday morning, so my wife's out at ninja school, my big boy, the taekwondo. So I'm just at home with the little chap, and I'm just about to make some lunch. We're going to have smelly egg sandwiches today. Just thought I'd fill you in on that. But anyway, yes. So, all these games that are coming out for the new generation of consoles, which are just re-releases. Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming out next month, I think, for Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Well, I've got Grand Theft Auto 5 on Xbox 360, and I've played the story. It's great, and don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed the story. It was a fantastic game, in fact. I absolutely love it. But would I be prepared to pay 40-odd quid to get it reskinned on an Xbox One? There are new modes and stuff that they've put in. You know, they've put in like a first-person mode and this kind of thing. And it looks good, but I'm not really sure it warrants me spending 40 quid on the same game, you know. I just find that a bit sort of... Perhaps if money was a bit more readily available and I could afford to buy more than perhaps one game a month or something, then I might be tempted by that. But certainly some of my friends are getting it, and I'm thinking, oh, it'd be nice to play with them again, you know. But realistically, there are much better games out there that I could get more and more engrossed in. Not necessarily better games, but there are other games that I haven't played before that I would much rather spend my money on and get stuck into, you know. It's a bit of a difficult one, because it's that thing where, you know, obviously, as I've said before, the main thing about this for me is that I wanted to play games with my mates again. And if I'm not buying the games that they're buying, I'm going to perhaps feel a little bit left out. But then again, the beauty of it is that because of the party chat system on Xbox, is that you can sort of be playing. You could have, I think, well, it might have changed actually. I meant to check this. It used to be on 360, you could have parties of up to 8 people. All sort of linked together to talk, but those 8 people could be playing 8 completely different games. You don't have to be playing the same game in order to chat and interact, which is quite good because you can kind of do what you want, but socialising at the same time. So that's what I've got to sort of get my head around, and I've got to prioritise my buying, my spending, because obviously money is not something that I have a lot of. So there you go. Anyway. Coding. I'm gonna wrap up very soon, but I just wanted to mention this, and maybe some people could possibly suggest if it's a thing that I might be able to do. Oops, that'll be the phone. I'll just pause you for a second. I'm back. God, that was another phone call. When I was self-employed, I had various sort of adverts out there, as you do, selling my wares. And there's an advert on Google that I can't get rid of. I can't find how to lose it. And I get sort of 3 or 4 phone calls a week from people asking me to go and fix their appliances. Anyway, coding. So I'm thinking about the possibility of doing an academic enhancement to my life. Being the fact that I'm at home and stuff, I'm not sure that I've got the motivation to do it, which is kind of where I've always fallen down when it comes to sort of education, or certainly academic education. I'm quite happy to sort of jump in and do stuff hands-on, but sitting there studying, it has never been something that I've been able to do. But I'm kind of thinking I might want to give it a bash, and I'm trying to think of something that I could do that might possibly benefit me in the future, to give me something that I could use further down the line, perhaps when my children's are both at school and I'm looking for other avenues of income, etc. But also something that I find sort of interesting and stimulating. And the two things that spring to mind, the first thing I thought about doing was something along the lines of social media, something with social media. I know obviously there are some people here that are very, very big on this. nodding at you, Mr. Goldbach. And I don't know, on the basis that I'm a social media junkie, I love my Twitter, my Facebook, and my Audioboom, and WhatsApp. I love all these kind of things. I like experimenting with them, and I like seeing how they work, and all this kind of thing. And more importantly, I like seeing how they don't work. And often I think, oh, I wish I could do something that would better that. Like, take Audioboom, for example. But there are other things, and you always think, oh, you know, could I do anything to enhance that? Why does that happen like that? And sometimes it's just the case of I just like to know. But I've also thought about possibly looking into trying to learn how to code. Now, perhaps maybe for app development, that kind of thing. I've never done any coding before. My level of coding experience is 10 print hello, 20 go to 10. And if I wanted to be really, really extravagant, I'd put a semicolon after it to make it go all over the page instead of just down one side. I mean, literally, that is it. That is it. I did some very, very basic back in the 1980s when we had BBC Model B computers in school, and I had a Toshiba MSX at home, which was great because I was learning BBC Basic at school, and then my home computer was Microsoft Extended Basic, which was different language, pretty much. So, I never really got on with it, and I've never understood it at all. And I look at pages of code now, and I think, oh my word. But then again, now and again, when I've been doing things like on my blog or something, which I still need to update, incidentally, but when I've been sort of embedding stuff into there, sort of into widgets and things like that, I've kind of understood, you know, how to sort of insert something into a line of HTML code, how to, you know, drop a picture in or something like that. And when I see it like that, I think, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. I wonder if the rest of it is as logical as this. And I'm wondering if there is some sort of simple logic within all of that, what appears to be mumbo jumbo on the screen in front of me. And I guess there must be. And I was just wondering if any of you lovely people, I'm really, really nodding towards the likes of Mr. Phil, Daylight Gamba, and Bernie Goldback, could possibly suggest how or what would be the best way to go about undertaking some sort of further education along the lines of coding, app development, with maybe a social media leaning towards it for someone who is a total doofus and has never done anything like that before. I think it's something that I'd like to have a crack at, but I need to sort of have a damn good look at it first and maybe do a few sort of free introductory things. I know there are free coding courses out there that on YouTube, etc., I think, that can sort of give you the basics. But obviously, I don't want to start, because I know there are lots of different languages, and I don't want to sort of go down the wrong route for the things that I might want to do in the future, you know. So I just wonder if anybody could advise me, if anybody could sort of point me in the right direction as such, because I've tried doing a few Google searches, but some of it's very contradictory and stuff like that, and there are a lot of assumptions made in the information that I found, assuming that I actually know what I'm talking about in the first place. But I'm talking about coming from a total, I know nothing at all about this, to wanting to possibly do something along the lines of, like I say, social media sort of app development down in the future. Possibly, maybe sort of appy type, gamey type things. Possibly, I've got a couple of ideas there that I might like to pursue if I could. But I'd just like a bit of advice, if possible. That would be really nice. Might want to better myself. So anyway, that'll do for now, I think, because I think I've talked for long enough. And I need to go and smash some smelly eggs. Oh, I love smelly egg sandwiches. I'm really into it at the minute. I'm really into smelly eggs and smelly egg mayonnaise, yeah, for anybody who doesn't know. Smelly egg and tuna mayo. I'm mad on tuna mayo at the minute. I might be pregnant. I can't get enough tuna mayonnaise. I just love it. Of course, the way I make tuna mayo is the best way in the world, with chili powder and loads of black pepper and stuff. But, you know, hey, other than that, I just can't get enough. It's kind of one of the things that I just want all the time. And I've got to kind of, I've got to control myself, because I'm sure it can't be good for you eating that much fish. There's mercury, isn't it, in tuna, I think? And if you eat too much of it, you get mercury poison or something like that. Do you remember those toys? Oh, God, I'm off again. Do you remember those toys in the 70s or early 80s used to get? And it was like a maze, and it had a blob of mercury inside that you had to move around the maze. And they used to sell them to kids. Wow. But they were brilliant. I had one of those. Well, my cousin had one as well. And we used to have competitions to see who would get around the maze the fastest with their blob of highly toxic liquid metal. When we were 8. Blimey. Isn't it bizarre, eh? Isn't it bizarre? Yeah. I wonder if you can still kind of... I might go and look on eBay and see if you can still actually get them. Or are they illegal completely? Are you not allowed to kind of, like, even own one these days? I don't know. Crazy stuff. That's twice in a week I've gotten about retro toys. I was on about Rally Chopper, wasn't I? Anyway, I am going to shut up because I've been talking for far too long. How long have I been talking for? 28 minutes. This is ridiculous. Thank you very much if you've listened to all this way. I really do appreciate it. I'm feeling very, very good. Very, very good. And I'm glad to be sharing that with you lovely people of Audioboo. Catch you all later, guys. Take care. Hope you have a good Sunday. Lest we forget. Take care. Bye-bye.